Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's turned to gold, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
I want a girl to walk around with. I want a girl to walk around with me. And sure, why not? Amnesia. Stranger things have happened. It's probably just amnesia that has kept him gone so long. At any Friday night now, while you're sitting here alone, you'll hear a knock, and you will open up the door to the man you're waiting for. Just like that, I'm sure. And he'll be holding magic flowers on a golden unicorn. But if you get bored with this, I'm going for a walk. You're more than welcome to come with. Order out. Stay in tonight.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another one. Sorry, I got distracted just listening. I'm a good listener, guys. That's the irony of this whole thing, is I'm such a Jesus. All right. How far are we in? It's time for the booze already, I can tell.
All right.
Just enjoy that in the left ear there. Cheers, huh? Midnight moon. I just caught up and asked her. You can't interrupt a multitasker. I said dinner, sure. Good. Great. And then she, here we go. Welcome, everybody. We have another action-packed show for you. I got a real, legit email. I have a little thing to say about crimes. Fireman thing. And, a great story about a dead cat. Everyone likes a dead cat story, right? I don't know if I can start with dead cat. I just had Mother's Day. That's always a delight, you know what I mean? My mom and I, we went to a Mexican food place. Okay. I'm pretty much, I don't mind other races, okay? I think we're all good. I think we're cool. However, Mexican food restaurants I have a problem with. And that problem is known as mariachis. I don't like when we go to these restaurants and these mariachi men are inside. These are really awful people. First of all, these pants. These are the tightest pants known to man. I don't know. This is like a space program gone wrong, and they just decided to design tight pants. I don't know how one puts on a pair of pants like this. I don't know where you purchase a pair of pants like this. I think it just might be their legs. I think if you have a baby and it's just born with those legs, then it's a mariachi. Here's the thing, okay? I don't get real pumped when I go somewhere. Most times if I go to just a place and there's a band, a band's being forced on you, right? Most of the time. It's like, we're going to have a band in this just sandwich restaurant, you know? Which is perfect, because there's nothing I need more than a sandwich song while I'm eating a sandwich. And I just can't wait to get the fuck out of there, and I can't talk to anybody if I'm there with them. Yeah, I went to a concert on last Friday. And here's the thing. It was a concert, but it was more of a, hey, this is a dude we know who has a band. Let's go see this band because we know the dude, which I, you know, fine. But here's the thing. We get there, and it is so fucking loud, you can't even talk to anybody you're with. So I don't know. Unless you're such a band that you just sell tickets and shit, I don't know why it's got to be so fucking loud, owners of bars and restaurants. The mariachi, though, is even worse. At least with this band, I could just sit quietly with my own thoughts and think about, I don't even know. You know what I do a lot? I do the math of how deep into my life I am so far and how much is left and what percent of what remains is being used here. I'm not good at math, so it takes a while. It'll kill a couple songs. You know, and I clap in the middle and forget what I was doing. So that works out nicely. So we go to this thing, whatever. Mariachi, though, is much worse. And I'll tell you why. First of all, they come right up to your fucking table, right? they come right to you. Now, this is a great thing if you're a hunk singer. I don't know who's like the La Bamba guy. I'm sure that people enjoyed that when he did that. Or I don't know who the modern equivalent, some guy from fucking Maroon 5 or something. I'm sure if he comes right up to a table and he's like singing right at your table, that's a thrill. That's a big fucking deal. But I'm just eating terrible tacos. You know, I wasn't planning on seeing this guy. And once I see him, I don't even recognize him. Are these even songs that people know? It would blow my fucking mind if people knew these songs. So they're a little close and then they're a little loud. And the thing is, they come and play at your table and then they're just looking you in the eye. You know, like, hey, here we are playing a song for you. What do you think about that? You know, and you're supposed to, I guess you're supposed to tip them, pay them, something like that. Which I just can't imagine because I don't want them to be there. You know, it's not trying to be an asshole. I just want them to go away. And generally, when I give someone money, that's not what makes them go away. You know what I mean? So we go to this Mexican restaurant for my mom's Mother's Day. It was hers. And mariachis come in. You know, we're almost done. And, you know, I mean, there was a table next to us. There's like a handicap boy who was moaning the whole time. We don't have to pay him to stay or go. You just live with it, right? But these guys are invited in to sort of do the similar thing. So they come in, you know, and they kind of start there around the perimeter of the restaurant. Aye, 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 all that. And, you know, we're done. We're done with our food. Just waiting on that check, you know, and I start putting on my coat. And I'm sitting in the booth in the way where one leg is out on the floor outside of the booth and the other leg's still in the booth. Just like, come on, come on. Waiting, watching the waitress, just giving her the complete fucking stare down where I'm sure she can feel my eyes, you know, saying, let's go. We can make it out of this, guys. We can do this shit. And they go to one table and then they go to the next table and then they cut into the center and I'm thinking, we're fucking next, man. We're doomed. We're not going to make it. There's no way we're getting out of this mariachi free. But then the lady came and gave us our check, and I fucking ran up to the little desk and paid and didn't even go back to the booth. You know, I called my mom from where I was standing out of the booth so we could just head towards the door. Like I was her abusive husband for the day. It's kind of what Mother's Day is like, right? It's like you're extra nice to your mom because you're her abusive husband who is trying to make up for everything in one day. So, you know, and that's the end of the day. I'm like, come on, let's go. Before these fucking mariachis get over here. Enough with that, please. Can we please make a stage for them? If they're on a stage, that's fine. Or if I'm somewhere where I'm having shots, that's fine. But I'm just eating guacamole on a chip? No, not fine. I need to be much more wasted than that. I need to be way more wasted than I was at the afternoon lunch with my mom for Mother's Day. All right? Okay, so let's talk about the cat. This is the day before. So this would have been Friday. So I should tell you guys, if you don't know, I'm not exactly an animal lover, okay? Now, I'm not stringing up cats and putting their heads on spikes out in front of my apartment or something like that. You know, and I'm not beating up dogs in fist fights or however they fight or, you know, whatever. I don't own any animals, really. I'm not, I don't know, some of them rub me the wrong way. I was dog sitting this weekend, and I'm pretty sure, I don't understand dog behavior, you know? Like, the dog fucking won't go out the dog door, I have to open the people door for him. Which I wouldn't do, I'd just be like, fuck yourself, but I don't, if he pees inside, that really punishes me more than him, right? Because what am I going to do? I don't know how to punish a dog, right? I mean, do you yell at him? I can't just hit him, can you? I don't think you can just hit a dog. I don't feel like a dog has a range where, I feel like if I hit him medium, they don't even know. That's almost like being pet. And if I hit him real hard, that's life-threatening. What's the in-between on a dog? I don't know that there's an in-between where they say, okay, I understand now. And I don't, my words, you know, I can't use my words. That's all I've got. That's the thing. I've got words and punches. And so for people, the words seem to work, but for dogs, the words are, useless, you know, because of their own problems. You know, so he's like not doing that. And then he gets up on a fucking chair and he's kind of looking at me. And from the look in his eyes, I suspect he's not supposed to be on that chair. He's looking at me as though he expects at any second for me to say, "You know damn well what you've done wrong here. Get off that fucking chair. Nice try, buddy." But I don't. I'm not his fucking owner. He also went outside and ate a bunch of grass and then threw it up in the carpet on the inside. Which, that's a really nice thing for dogs to do, you know? Oh yeah, here's what I'll do. Ruin your yard, rip up your yard, but eat it, even though I don't want it. And then just kind of puke it up on the carpet to then clean up. You know, it's like five messes. They make just grass, which just comes out of the ground, and convert it into mess. It's incredible. I don't know where they get these ideas. I'm not sure what he's trying to do either. You know, is he just fucking with me? Is that all that's happening? Anyway, so I'm not a big animal person, right? So I'm driving to work on Friday. It's early as fuck. You know, it's rainy. I just fucking hate the morning, man. Probably went to bed at 2, got up at 7, because that's just how I roll. You know what I mean? Hey, you know what, guys? Sleep's for the weak, okay? Sleep is for the weak and the rational and the mentally stable and the people not crippled by loneliness. So if you're one of those, enjoy your fucking night's sleep, huh? I get on the road and I'm driving, you know, I have like a 2-minute drive to work. And I'm headed down this road and in the lane, most of the way in the lane, and it's stretched out very long as they do, is a fucking dead cat. You know, and you could tell it's a goddamn dead house cat from forever away. And it's kind of stretched out. You know how sometimes they lay on the floor in a big sort of smile shape almost? They bend their back. He's kind of like that, you know, his paws all stretched out and shit. So I'm driving up to it, and then I, you know, swerve around it, and it's really in the lane. I'm thinking, motherfucker, you know, this thing's going to get smashed immediately. This is not going to last very long. So then I start thinking, maybe somebody should do something here. Maybe this cat should not remain corpsing up the roads, you know? It just makes me, when I see a dead animal just in the road, I always think it's the first 10 minutes of a virus movie. That's usually what they do. You know, bird just laying dead on the road with blood coming out of his beak. And then you know it's a virus movie. So I'm thinking maybe I should do something. I'm still driving this whole time too. And then I'm thinking, no, fuck that. Like, what am I going to do? That's weird, right? But then I have a remembrance of a time from the past. I have this friend of the show, Alec. And when he was a kid, they had this cat. And, you know, it went out and didn't come home. And then eventually they found it on the side of the road, just dead, you know, and it was gross. Probably worms. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. I don't fucking follow the details of cat death as much as possible. And, you know, it bummed him out. And I thought about it and I was like, man, that would fucking bum me out if that was my cat. And I just found it discarded on the road, especially if it got all smashed, you know, and it did that accordion thing like on the cartoons. And also, here's the, we'll get to this later. I'm going to fucking be pissed off in a minute. But so I decide to go, I'm going back for it. You know, I make the decision. I flip a U, go and park on the side of the road and decide I'm going to go. I'm going to retrieve this cat and give it a proper death of being, or burial of being burned to death somewhere amongst other dogs and cats and probably a lizard or something. I saw a poster today for a lost bird, you know, and it's... I saw the poster and I was like, let me guess. How did this bird get lost, I wonder? And, you know, it just said, I flew away from home and my mom and dad are worried. Which, by the way, that mom and dad thing is a little weird. But when it's a bird, extra weird. At least a dog, you can fucking see a human behind those eyes somewhere. I mean, there's something about them that you feel like they understand you. A bird, that's not your son. Okay? If you had to pick an animal for your son to be transformed into because you, you know, reneged on a witch bet, I think you'd pick dog or cat, right? Not bird. You wouldn't pick a fucking bird. Or you'd pick a good bird, like an eagle. Not one of these ones with those fucking feather mohawks and shit. All right, so I'm walking back, and, you know, cars are still swerving around, because I could just picture, I'm like, maybe the car, if a car smashes this thing, I'm not going to be able to get it, you know? What can I do? But they're swerving around, so finally a break in traffic comes, and I'm wearing a zip-up hooded sweatshirt, you know, because I'm professional, and that's how I go to work. And I unzip it and go over to where the cat is and kind of put it over the cat, you know, like it's a corpse on NCIS, right? Its legs are sticking out the bottom. Now, here's the thing. So then I go to pick up a cat, you know, and I haven't picked up a cat for a couple years. I don't often make a habit of it, but once in a while, something requires it. But this was different because this cat was fucking stiff as a board, man. No shit. I picked it up, and there was no bend. Its tail didn't bend. Its arms didn't bend. It was completely stiff. So I wrap the thing around it and take it over to, you know... And it took me long enough to pick it up that there are cars coming and swerving around me now trying to pick up this cat, probably thinking, either thinking, oh, you know, poor fucking guy, or what the fuck did this guy do, you know? So then I take it over the grass, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this cat now? And I think, I'll just take it to the, there's an animal hospital right near my work. I'll just take it there, right? They probably have dead shit all the time. So I take it over the grass to try and situate it better, because the thing is, it's like all sticking out of the sweatshirt, and I'm thinking, I'll get it sort of centered in the sweatshirt and zip it up so he's a little bit more contained, because who knows what kind of juices are going to come out of this cat. I mean, now he's clearly been dead since the night before, at least, right? So I get him in there, and I zip up the sweatshirt, and it works out perfectly, so his little dead cat head is in the hood, you know, framed by the hood. It looks like I dressed up a dead cat in a hooded sweatshirt. Exactly. And his tongue is like kind of sticking out and it's all crinkled. Thank fucking God his eyes were closed, you know. But yeah, and so that happened and I thought, this isn't going to work. I can't just be like, here's my cat. I dressed him up in a sweatshirt and now you take him, hospital. He's dead. Isn't this great? We're all having a good time. So I rearrange him, but the best I can do, because he's so stiff and so elongated, is to have his little paw coming out of the head hole. You know, so he's kind of, his head's probably somewhere in the armpit of the thing, and his arm is reaching out, you know, just like a victory pose, kind of Rocky at the top of the steps at the art museum, right? One fist in the air of power. So, you know, then I carry his stiff body back to the car and drive it over to the animal thing. So I'm sitting outside, and this is new for me, okay? I've not had to do this before. And I think, all right, I'm going to go in and tell them what's up, because, you know, I was like, maybe I'll just bring it in, but that seems weird, right? Just to walk into a place with a cat corpse. And, you know, what if there's some kid in there? That would be just as bad. I mean, I wouldn't just bring a fucking horse head in there either and be like, my horse died. Can you dispose of this gigantic horse head that's dripping on your floor? So I go inside, and there's a lady at the desk. She's like, what can I do for you? And I'm like, well, this is probably weird, but I found a dead cat on the side of the road, and I don't really know what to do with it. It's not mine. There's no tags, whatever. And, you know, I said, I thought maybe you guys could take it because, I don't know, that seems to be what you do, right? I mean, do you just cut tumors off of dogs? Can you do whatever you do with the tumors? This cat, I don't know. So, you know, she says, let me call the back. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, and she calls and she looks at me and I must have been making some kind of face because she's like, oh, this is my first week here. So I really don't know. And I said, all right, it's cool. So then she hangs up the phone and she does the thing. I don't know why people do this, okay? She says, normally you should just call animal control. Because normally we don't take them. But since you just brought it here, we'll take it. You know, but if you'd called first, we would have said no. Which I was like, so the answer is yes, but no. You just want me to know that this is an inconvenience for you? And also, not really planning on making a fucking habit of finding dead cat corpses. I'll do my best, okay? How about you do your best to take this corpse? I'll do my best not to find others on the side of the road. What am I supposed to do? So then this lady comes out, you know, and she's in the scrubs and everything, and she's got a towel, and we're walking out to the car. And so I reach in and take the cat out and set it on, you know, she's holding the towel. And I set him on there, and she's like, oh, wow, he's really dead. I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit, lady. Like, what did you think? I wasn't sure that he was dead yet. I was uncertain, but I just decided to advertise him as dead and hope you'd burn him up and, you know, finish him. I mean, no. Then she asked me if I want my fucking sweatshirt back. The one that the dead cat is wrapped in. Which, you know, it's like a $10 Target sweater. So I don't know, maybe she was just asking to be nice, or maybe she was like, this guy is in fucking dire straits, man. I don't know that he can just afford to give up a $10 Target sweater. Okay, it's clearly not from Walmart. This is a Target Hanes sweater that's normally used for exercise and consists of a work coat for him. You know, I said no. I said, I think I'll go ahead and just let it go. You know, these people let go of their beloved pet. I'll let go of a fucking jacket. So she goes inside, and then I go back to work. You know, and I had to call my boss and explain why I was late, which was fun, you know. Hey, I'm late because there's a dead kitty in my car. Yeah. So I go back to work, and, you know, I get there early on Fridays. We have a couple hours before we open. So I usually just kind of get all the busy work done for the upcoming day and listen to some music, right? So I get out my iPod. And I'm going in, and then that's when I realize my headphones are in the fucking jacket pocket that I left with the dead cat over at the animal hospital. And that's most of the saga of the dead cat. However, I do have some complaints. Okay, this is where I start to get upset. Now, I'm not an animal person, as discussed, okay? I was unsure if the dog should be on the furniture. He was licking his lips in such a way that I think he may have been trying to seduce me. I don't know. I don't know what happens or what animals are thinking, okay? But I do know that people love their dogs and cats. Ridiculously. But whatever. That's your thing. Fine. That's fine. So, I'm telling somebody at work this, and she's saying, why would you do that? Why would you pull over and do that? You know, and I told her. I told her the story about my friend's dead cat and all that, and she said, still, why would you do that? I was just like, you own a dog, right? Like, you were real upset when your dog died. Wouldn't you want someone to fucking pull over and take your dog off the road? And then she's like, okay, but why didn't you just leave it in the grass, you know, wrapped in your sweatshirt or whatever? To which I was like, why would you pull it off the road just to leave it in the grass, A? And B, that would be really nice. I dress up this cat and its head is sticking out of the hood of my sweatshirt, so it looks like some fuckhead is driving around town and hitting cats and then dressing them up. This is what I do now, you know? I put them in weird poses and then the rigor mortis sets in and it looks like they're making a cake and they're wearing an apron. It's hilarious, but they're dead. And then she says, why don't you just throw them in the dumpster? Which again, final time, why would I pick him up to throw him in the dumpster? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Plus, it turned out to be very fortuitous that I didn't throw him in the dumpster because my boss decided that morning was the morning to clear out a bunch of old Christmas shit, which I was very much up for because that's not my holiday. And we have a bunch of crap there that, you know, no one's used for years. So, you know, cut to an hour and a half later and I'm in the dumpster jumping up and down to make these goddamn cardboard snowflakes fit in there. And I was just thinking, if I had thrown this cat corpse in there, I'd be jumping up and down on this cat corpse. And, you know, as it was, jumping up and down in the dumpster, as you might expect, you know, activated the garbage smell of the dumpster quite nicely. So you're in a cloud jumping up and down thinking, this is my career, man. But the smell would have, you know, I would have just been like, it's that cat. It's got to be the cat. That's all this could be. It's horrible. But you know what? Turned out fine. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. Is this somebody who, if their kid died, would be upset, but some other kid died? It's like, eh, fuck it. You don't need to pull him off the side of the road, you know? Or just an old man. I mean, eh, just leave him. Call animal control. So, let's see. I did get a legitimate email with a question. It's a pretty important question as far as, like, it's kind of two questions. It was sent to me by helpfulsnowfan@gmail.com, which is pretty awesome that someone took that Gmail. However, that Gmail is registered to someone named Pogo the Clown, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the clown name for Gacy. So, mixed bag. You know, nice fandom, but I guess their top people are me and a serial killer clown. Make of that what you will. So here's the email. Dear Mr. Snowman of Help, who do you like better, Lewis or Clark, Thelma or Louise? Thanks. So I did a little research. I brought up a couple things here. I've got Meriwether Lewis, I've got a William Clark, and I've got the plot to the film Thelma and Louise. Now, here's the problem with Thelma and Louise. For whatever reason, I read this email earlier in the day, and I said, I'm going to do some research, and I'm going to make a hard decision on this one, which I did. But then, to my chagrin, I found out that Thelma and Louise are not Laverne and Shirley, okay? So that was kind of a problem. So I'll have to go through and figure out which one is more enjoyable. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to start with Lewis and Clark. I'm going to write them down here. We'll just go through their brief shit and see which one's the real good guy. So let's just see. Yeah, he was an explorer. Okay, we'll start with Lewis. Okay? He was born in Virginia. Great. All these fucking guys are born in Virginia, aren't they? Oh, his father died of pneumonia. That's pretty great. Blah, blah, blah. He was a hunter and an outdoorsman. Well, that's pretty good. I'll give him a plus. Hunter, outdoorsman. Why not? I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I'm not really good on my history, but I feel like if you're born in the 1700s, how are you not a hunter and an outdoorsman? I mean, wouldn't you live your whole life out fucking doors? I don't know. He would often venture out in the middle of the night in the dead of winter with only his dog, Seaman, to go hunting. Seaman. Seaman? S-E-A-M-A-N. Seaman. That is two pluses for having a dog named Seaman. And another plus for being a creature of the night. Let's see. At an early age, he was interested in natural history, minus. His mother taught him how to gather wild herbs for medicinal purposes. Oh, I bet she was a delight. Telling him all about chamomile and all that stuff. Minus. Let's see. His father's older brother became his guardian. Blah, blah. He joined the militia. Ooh, he was sent as a part of a detachment involved in putting down the Whiskey Rebellion. Minus. That's the best named rebellion ever. And also, if that's not the name of a southern rock band, somebody get on that shit immediately. Let's see, he was an aide to Thomas Jefferson, yada yada. Okay, let's move to the expedition here. Oh, let's see. Sacagawea was with them. Great. They went all around. Super. All right. So there you go. That's a little biography of Lewis. So here we've got plus one for being a hunter outdoorsman. Plus two for Seaman, plus three for Creature of the Night, and minus three for, being an herbology guy. What was that other shit? Whiskey Rebellion. That was a big fucking problem. And, one other one. So he's at a plus one. So, one of our great American heroes is at a plus one. Not looking good for you, Mr. Oh, also his name is Meriwether. That puts him at an even goose egg, okay? There's a picture of him, though. He's not a bad-looking dude, I guess. Pretty average. He's got kind of burly eyebrows, which I can identify with. So I'll go with that. All right, plus one. Lewis, you're doing pretty well. All right, let's switch over to Clark. Let's see, he was an American explorer, soldier, Indian agent, and governor. He was born in Virginia, huh? He was a planter and slaveholder. Oh, boy. I'm going to have to put -1 for slaveholder. I know that kind of goes against my feelings about slaves, but, you know, I have general feelings about slaves. That kind of slave is a little unsavory for me. Let's see, he was the 9th of 10 children. That's a -1 because that's too big of a family, and that's a little gross. He did not have any education. Okay, that's a +1 because fuck school. He was self-conscious about his convoluted grammar and inconsistent spelling. He spelled Sioux, S-I-O-U-X, 27 different ways in his journals of the Lewis and Clark expedition and sought to have his journals corrected before publication. That's a -1. Not because he can't spell, but he's got no fucking confidence, man. Just spell it the same wrong way over and over, and then it's cool. In fact, if I was reading something from the 1700s, and they spelled S-I-O-U-X as S-O-U-U-Y, I would just say, that's probably how they did it. Who the hell knows? Let's see. He had older brothers. His brother was a general in Kentucky. Wonderful. Oh, man. He had this is mentioning his slaves quite often, I have to say. Ooh, and he moved to Kentucky. That's not a great idea. Let's see. He kept a detail of the expedition, a military expedition, beginning a lifelong practice. Oh, they were advancing against Wee Indians who had been raiding settlements in Kentucky. And they attacked a peaceful Shawnee hunting camp where they killed a total of 8 men, women, and children. Oh, Clark. That's going to be a minus because I don't know that these Native Americans have recovered yet, you know. Not looking good, Clark. Ugh. Okay. So let's keep going down. Let's get to the expedition here. So he got recruited when he was 33 to join the newly formed Corps of Discovery. All right, that's a -1 for each because that is a real dorky name. Whose mission was to... That's like the Simpsons joke, Team Discovery Channel, but real. Jesus Christ. Oh. Clark spent 3 years on the expedition to the Pacific coast. A slave owner known to deal harshly with his slaves, he brought York, one of his slaves, with him. York did manual labor in extreme weather and received no compensation. The indigenous nations treated York with respect, and many of the Indians were interested in his appearance, which played a key role in diplomatic relations. I think we talked about York on this show before, because I had read something about how Lewis and Clark went on this expedition, and they took York, because I saw there's a statue of York, you know, and it was pretty awesome. He was holding like a dead goose and a gun, and he had his shirt open. You know, pirates will kind of do in old movies, but now it's kind of ruined, because in old movies, you know, guys would be strong, but they didn't look like they do now. No one had six-pack abs back in the day. Right? Unless you were Conan, Arnold. But now, you know, you see a new pirate movie and they'll have a six-pack and you're like, really? Really? You guys are doing fucking modified crunches all over the floor? Medicine ball shit when no one's around on your pirate ship? So anyway, York goes on this expedition, does a bunch of work for no compensation, which no fucking duh, he's a slave. But I always figured if I were a slave and they're like, you can go on basically a long camping trip or continue to do whatever the fuck it is we're having you do with cotton all goddamn day, I'd probably go on the expedition, right? If nothing else, it's a getaway from, you know, your terrible life. Maybe you get to, I don't know, shoot someone in the back and run away. Who knows? But then it turns out, you know, the funny part of the story to me was then they get back. And there was a little bit of tension because Clark was like, all right, you can go ahead and go back to being a slave now. And York was not real interested in that, if you can fucking believe it. So, Clark, that's another -1 for York. Okay? Also being known to deal harshly with his slaves. Jesus Christ. Real nice. Ooh. He married some babe, and then she died, and he married her first cousin. Jesus Christ, -1. Ugh. Okay. You know what? I think that's good for me. So let's see. When we added Corpse of Core of Discovery to Lewis's score as a minus one, he came out at zero. Clark has a plus one, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 minus ones. So that would put him at a negative five. So, Pogo the Clown, after some scientific deductive reasoning with research, I have discovered that I guess if your question is, do I want to have sex with Lewis or Clark, I would have to pick Lewis. All right. So then we also have the question of not Laverne and Shirley, but those others. Thelma and Louise. Okay? So in case you didn't know, Thelma and Louise is a movie from 1991 about these two babes. There's going to be spoiler alert, guys. So if you haven't seen Thelma and Louise, you know, you might want to just advance the tape a little bit because I'd hate to ruin it for you. It's very intense. All right. So Thelma is played by Gina Davis, whereas Louise is Susan Sarandon. So I guess the first question, I think what we'll do is just go categorically here, right? So who do you like better, Susan Sarandon or Gina Davis? Well, Gina Davis is tall and smart. And Susan Sarandon may be tall and may be smart, but I don't know for sure. And you know how I am. I like them short as hell and even dumber. So Thelma it is. Easy one, guys. Come on. Let's see. So Louise. Oh, wait. I did that wrong. So Louise is at a plus one right now. So Louise is a single waitress who appears strong, organized, and stern with unspecified trauma in her past. So she's a waitress, whereas Thelma is a passive housewife. So I'm going to go ahead and I will pick waitress over passive housewife because passive housewife sounds kind of boring to me. I think actually I'm kind of looking for a lifestyle where I would be the passive housewife. So it doesn't really work so well if my wife is also a passive housewife. You know what I mean? You got to be one or the other, and I'll be the passive housewife. She can go work at the diner or whatever. Okay, so then the two head out in Louise's 1966 Ford Thunderbird convertible for a two-day vacation in the mountains that quickly turns into a nightmare before they reach their destination. So Louise owns a 1966 Ford Thunderbird convertible, which is awesome, except I do not like convertible people. Those are silly. So Thelma is going to get a plus one because she doesn't own a convertible. So they stop for a drink, and Thelma meets and dances with Harlan Puckett. She gets drunk, and Harlan attempts to rape her in the parking lot, okay? Louise finds them and threatens to shoot Harlan with a gun Thelma brought with her. Harlan stops, but as the women walk away, he yells profanity and insults them. Louise loses her temper and fires, killing him. Thelma wants to go to the police, but Louise says that because Thelma was drunk and had been dancing with Harlan, no one will believe he tried to rape her. Afraid that she will be prosecuted, Louise decides to run away, and Thelma accompanies her. I don't know, man. Perhaps wherever the fuck these people lived in this movie, that's how this worked. But I don't think it would be... So here, I'm a cop, and let me get something straight here, okay? You're in a bar, everyone was fucking shit-faced, this man followed you out to your car, and I'm to believe that in a dark parking lot where everyone's drunk and it's loud, and a man followed you to your car, that he tried to have sex with you against your will? Does that really sound plausible to you? Okay. So here's the problem. You have Thelma and Louise, right? Thelma wants to go to the police. Good lady. Louise does not want to go to the police. And convinces Thelma not to via this crazy story. So that means Thelma is a dummy, but Louise is mean and tricks her friend that's supposed to be her friend and is basically like, no, man, let's go on the run. So I guess the question is, who do you prefer, a liar or a dum-dum? That's a tough one. But being somewhat of a dum-dum myself, I feel like I would be victimized by a liar. So that's a plus one for Thelma. So we're neck and neck here. So Louise is determined to travel from Oklahoma to Mexico, but refuses to go through Texas. It is revealed that something happened to her in Texas years earlier, but she refuses to say exactly what. So heading west, they come across JD, and Thelma convinces Louise to let him hitch a ride with them. Louise contacts her boyfriend, Jimmy Lennox, and asks him to send her life savings via Western Union. When she goes to pick up the money, she finds that Jimmy has come to see her. Thelma invites JD into her room and learns that he is a thief who has broken parole. They become intimate. Oh, and JD describes how he conducted his holdups. Jimmy asks Louise to marry him, and she refuses. Okay. So Thelma is going to fuck a thief. I mean, 10 hours ago, you know, they shot a man and she made a run for it. But then she's going to bang this thief. However, this thief is Brad Pitt. Okay? So the only thing I could say he's really guilty of stealing is all of our hearts. Louise's husband, or guy, not husband, is Michael Madsen, right? Who is also kind of awesome in a totally different way and asks her to marry him. So who do I think has the better man? Brad Pitt, the thief, or Michael Madsen, the wanting to marry guy? I'm going to have to say, Well, you know what? Over time, I enjoy Michael Madsen more, and I'll tell you why. I enjoy Brad Pitt. However, Michael Madsen has this great website, okay? And you can go on there, and he basically tells about every piece of shit movie he's made. Because he has made some fucking shit movies, let me tell you. And what he does on this website is he explains why he made some of his shit movies. You know, he'll say, oh, there was this really nice cabin I wanted to buy. Or, yeah, I had a bunch of, criminal charges I had to pay off or whatever. So that one's going to Louise with Madsen. Probably the first time in any sort of categorical thing Michael Madsen's been picked over Brad Pitt. In the morning, Thelma tells Louise about her night with JD. Louise asks where JD is, and they find that he is gone with the money. You see this, guys? I made the right decision. Louise is distraught and frozen with indecision, so a guilty Thelma takes charge. Ooh, a switch. Meanwhile, the FBI, after questioning JD, Jimmy, and Daryl, are getting closer to catching the fugitives. Detective Hal Slocum discovers the event that Louise experienced in Texas, and during a couple of brief phone conversations, expresses sympathy for her predicament and pledges to protect her, but he is unsuccessful in his attempts to persuade her to surrender. So Louise has been talking to Harvey Keitel. That's awesome. That's a plus one for Louise. Good on you, lady. While Louise waits in the car, Thelma, attempting to make up for the money JD stole, robs a convenience store. When a policeman stops them, Thelma threatens him with her gun, steals his gun, and locks him in the trunk of his cruiser. They encounter a truck driver who repeatedly makes obscene gestures at them. They pull over to demand an apology, but when he refuses, they fire at the truck's fuel tank, causing it to explode. Okay, so now Thelma takes charge, robs a liquor store, locks a cop in a trunk, and explodes a truck. Wow. Well, I guess she's trying to make up for a friend, which is a good thing to do. Try and make things all cool or whatever. On the other hand, I feel like she's gone a little overboard. I mean, yes, if I was having a down day and someone said, hey, here's $1,500, I'd say, all right. You know what? Money doesn't fix anything. Everything. Excuse me. It does fix some things. Money doesn't fix everything. However, it doesn't hurt. But if I'm having a down day, I wouldn't say, hey, you know what would cheer me up? Someone robbed a fucking 7-Eleven for me. That's not going to quite have the same effect. So I'm going to have to go Louise again. Okay. All right. Thelma and Louise are finally cornered by the police, only 100 yards from the edge of the Grand Canyon, of course. Detective Slocum arrives on the scene, but he has refused the chance to make one last attempt to talk the women into surrendering themselves. Rather than be captured and spend the rest of their lives in jail, Thelma proposes that they keep going. Louise asks if Thelma is, if she is certain. Jesus. Louise asks Thelma if she is certain. Thelma says yes, and steps on the gas. As soon as the car starts forward, Slocum sprints after it in an attempt to save them, but the car drives over the cliff. First of all, Harvey Keitel, were you close to saving them on foot when they're in a car driving over the edge of the Grand Canyon? Did that almost work for you? Good plan, buddy. All right, so here's the thing. Thelma drives them off the cliff, right? And she's the one who proposes that they do it. So she says, hey, how about we do this? And then she fucking does it. Louise says, are you sure? And then they do it together, right? But the way I see it, Thelma had to propose the idea and execute. You know what I mean? She's the one with her fucking foot on the gas. So that one is also going to Thelma. So, after this careful analysis, let's just take a look. Thelma comes in with a total of 3 points of who's better. Louise comes in with a total of 5 points on the who's better. So, I guess what I'm saying is I'm a Louise man. Louise man. Louise Guzman. So there you go. I hope that answered your questions from the beyond the grave, Mr. Pogo the Clown. I hope that's really who that is, because if it's not, that's going to, you know, make me look like a fucking idiot. I did have one more thing I wanted to talk about today. So I was at work and my old boss was telling me I'm going to visit family in Chicago, you know, and if I get off my ass, hopefully I'll bring this stuff with me and you'll get to hear some hilarious accents going down there. So my old boss was telling me how she went down to Chicago and took a tour. And what it was, though, it wasn't the normal tour. It was a tour in a big old fire truck, because the thing is, they had like a big fire in Chicago years and years ago because this cow knocked something over and fucked everything up, right? But what she said was really interesting is the guy, you know, the guy's driving the fire truck, right? And so you see all the sights, you know, you're like, here's where the cow knocked the thing over, and you know, oh, there's the Sears Tower, all that shit. But also, in between, he'll stop somewhere. And then he'll describe, like, a horrific fireman story. So imagine, you're in this fire truck, you know, and you got your sunglasses and your dumb hat on because you're on a vacation. Just having a great old time, looking around, and he's on a big microphone, driving and talking. And then he's like, over there to your left, you'll see Navy Pier. That's a real fun place to go with the family. They got Bubba Gump shrimp down there. Real good. And then, you know, it comes to a slow stop, you know. Here's where I lost 3 of my brothers in one afternoon. It's one of the darkest days of my life. They went into a fire up there. They went up on the fire escape, and the fire escape gave out right underneath them. Couldn't have seen that coming. No one could have known, you know. Can you imagine, though? You're on the roof. Just goes out from under you, and you're falling into the flames there. As we move on our right, you're gonna see the fucking Wrigley Field. So buckle up for that. We'll get right over there. It's gonna be great. Turns on the siren, and then they go. You know, or you just fucking, you're in the middle of, you know, Al's Beef. This is a downtown establishment that's been around for as long as anyone can remember. Chicago's known for its hot dogs and its pizza. But it's Beef's is where it really makes a name for itself. Al's Beef's, I recommend you try it when you get a chance. Now, if we'll just turn the corner here, we'll see a place where I saw the most horrifically burned baby I've seen in my entire life. It was so burned, its arm dripped off like it was just made out of, you know, old milk there. I still see it every time I close my eyes. I can't even imagine being that baby's father. The pain. the endless pain. The other night I was in my apartment over in Innocent Park. Saw my own reflection in the sliding glass patio door. And I just don't know what kind of man I am anymore. Over here we've got Rock and Roll McDonald's. It's one of the landmarks of downtown, you know. So he's telling me that this is how the whole fucking tour goes. And I'm like, I can't believe that this is real, you know. But then she took me to the website, which is O'Leary'sFireTours.com. And it's got a little biography of the guy, you know. And it's like, oh, it's owned by this retired fire captain. And he was in charge of educating during one of the most difficult periods in our nation's history, September 11, 2001. You know, and it flew his dog down there to assist with recovery and all that. And then you keep going, and you just, you know, it's like, this is all true. Listen to this. As a young firefighter, George was assigned to Engine Company 18 on Roosevelt and May, until recently the oldest active fire station in the city of Chicago. There, as a candidate firefighter, he performed his first rescue at the famous Fontana's Deli, where he pulled a lady and a child out of the third floor window. From Engine 18, he moved to Truck 18, located at 50th and Union. That's one of those things, too, like it's a very... those are the cross streets of where Truck 18 is? That's really important. He moved to Truck 18, where he sustained injuries while ventilating a roof. George fell 28 feet under the pick of his axe, piercing his leg. From there, George was promoted to lieutenant. After 5 years, he was promoted to captain. This is like, to me... You know, there's always somebody at your work who seems to have, like, a knee surgery every 4 months or some kind of bizarre, you know, they've had 100 different weird injuries that make no fucking sense. That's kind of what this guy seems like to me. You know, he's just constant surrounded by death, and he's decided to channel that by giving fucking tours of the city where he, you know, his old ghosts. You know, they might as well just call this Ghosts of George's Life Tour, you know, things that haunt him every single day tour. I would actually like to do that, you know, in my own life. If this became a tourist city, I could just give tours around here, you know. That over there is where, you know, I vomited all over the sidewalk because I drank far too much. And, you know, that was a tough night for me because there was a girl I was trying to impress. And turns out that vomiting all over the sidewalk doesn't do the job quite yet. Oh, this is where I had one of the happiest nights of my life and connected with my new girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. And then if you turn 180 degrees to your left, you'll see where it all ended in a horrible fit of violent crying, me, and her speeding away, laughing and throwing dollar bills out the window, you know. I think you could really make something of, I mean, if anyone just wanted to catalog their personal demons, that seems like a pretty easy way to do it, right? All right, I do have one last thing that I really quite enjoyed here. So somebody, dear friend, lives in Erie, Colorado, right? And we were talking about the newspaper there, because, you know, these small towns have the best fucking, newspapers, and they do things like they have the police blotter in there, which is basically like all the little crimes that happened, you know. So I just wanted to, I had some highlights here that I wanted to enjoy. Let's see, about 9:15 p.m. Tuesday, police responded to, you know, Indian Paintbrush Way on a report of an intoxicated woman who left the residence armed with a handgun. They searched the area, but were unable to locate the woman. I always wonder about, like, stuff like this, because honestly, I don't understand the laws of guns. Are you not allowed to have a gun when you're drunk? Who decides that? Because I know I'm not allowed to drive a car when I'm drunk, but if I could somehow, if I sat in the car in the garage, no one's ever going to know, right? And a gun, I don't know. And what kind of gun? Can I have no guns when I'm drunk? That doesn't seem... If that was an enforced law, wouldn't we have almost no murders? Wouldn't everything be pretty good? I don't understand. It doesn't seem like something you should do. About 5:45 p.m. on Thursday, police responded to this place on a report of a disturbance. Officers contacted two sisters who were arguing and yelling over a Facebook.com post. The women agreed to stop yelling, and the officer mediated the situation. Jesus fucking Christ. I can't even imagine being a... If I was a cop... I mean, I do some worthless shit at my job, you know, or I get called out to do something that any fool could do, right? But if someone, you know, I was a cop and I'm speeding to the scene with my sirens on, domestic disturbance, and it's these girls yelling over, you know, oh my God, you updated your fucking... I don't even know. What? I don't know, guys. That's terrible, though. Shouldn't be... you can fight over Facebook. It's fine. I understand it's important. It's like a whole second tier of life. But not to the point where when the cops show up, it's gone too far. Let's see. There's a good one here. About 6:15 p.m. on Tuesday. A lot of crimes happening early here. 9, 5:45, 9, 10 a.m. 10 a.m., some boys were busted for smoking marijuana. All parties were cited for possession and drug paraphernalia, and one boy supplied officers with a false birth date and was arrested for false reporting. 10 a.m. is way too... 10 a.m. on a fucking Tuesday is way too early to be smoking weed, gentlemen. I don't know. You clearly don't know a lot about weed, but come on. How about this? Burglary at 6:15 p.m. Again, not a good time. And this happened on Sir Galahad Drive. Jesus Christ, that would be embarrassing. Where do you live? Oh, Sir Galahad Drive? Really? Really? Three girls, ages 11, 13, and 14, were arrested on suspicion of second-degree burglary and theft under $500. The girls accessed a home through an unlocked door and stole clothing and a Jessica Simpson purse. The items were recovered. Oh, thank God. Jessica Simpson purse? I wasn't even aware that was a thing. Is this like a fashion-y purse, or is this the kind of purse that's like plastic and just says Jessica Simpson on it? You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, if someone said a Hannah Montana purse, I would assume it was basically a smaller version of a plastic backpack. But Jessica Simpson, I don't know. Who is she appealing to at this point in her life? I have no fucking idea. Oh, God, there's an Excalibur Street as well. This is a great... Great city names going on here. At 11:08 p.m., police responded to Mercury Drive on a report of loud music. Officers could hear the music from the moment they stepped out of their vehicle and around the corner. They contacted a resident, a 39-year-old woman. They have spoken with several times on similar complaints, and she agreed to turn down the music. When officers were speaking on the phone with the reporting party, a 56-year-old woman... The 39-year-old woman came to the 56-year-old's residence and began shouting at her, saying, "Your lights are disturbing me." So I guess there's the one woman with the music, and the cops tell her to turn it down. She says, "Fine," but she knows it's this old back across the street. So she goes across the street and says, "Hey, my music bothers you. Your lights bother me. How do you like that? Different sensory, bitch." So when the officer confronted her and informed her what she was doing could be considered harassment, she told the officer to, quote, "zip it" and used profanities. Oh, my dear. Zip it. So do you think she said "zip it"? Or do you think she said "zip it, shithead" or something like that? The woman was arrested on suspicion of disturbing the peace and harassment. I suspect she may have been disturbing the police. I don't know why you would do that when the cops were still there. You probably should have left, right? Let's see. These are, small fire. Yeah. Oh, there's a small fire, but no one was hurt, and the fire was contained to a small area and quickly extinguished. Whoopty shit. Anyway, I guess that's what's going on in our small towns, you know? Crime out the ass. Big time. Big time crime in a small time mime. Yeah, okay. Well, as you may have figured by that, we're about done here today. Thanks for coming out again. I've gotten a couple real nice emails and compliments on some various you know, aspects of HelpfulSnowman.com and seen some nice people linking things to Facebook, which I always appreciate, you guys. I know there's a lot of stuff out there to read and listen to and watch and all that, so, you know, I appreciate you take the time to look at my shit. Because, I don't know, that's a choice, right? There's plenty of good stuff out there. I don't want to talk about what, because let's just stick to HelpfulSnowman.com for now, okay? All right. You guys have a fucking sweet night.